Daf is Psachim Daf Nun Aleph. We are holding here on the bottom of Nun Amud Beis. If you remember, the beginning we started the parak, the fourth parak in the Masechta, Makom Shenagu, and we're talking about places where you have various minhagim. For example, the Mishnah started off in a place. Let's say you live in a place where the minhag is to do malacha on Erev Pesach, and then you go to a place where it's not the minhag to do malacha, or vice versa. So the Mishnah had said that Nostin alav chumrei hamakom sheyatzo misham, chumrei hamakom shehalach lasham. Right, you should there are the chumras, you should keep the chumras. And then it had said something that's kind of contradictory that we're going to talk about today at the end of today's daf. Then the Mishnah said, "Va'yishana adam v'plan machlokas." A person shouldn't differentiate from the minhag because because you don't want people to start up with you. So we'll explain exactly what's going on over there. But that's the general topic and what we've been discussing, and that's what we're up to right over here. We're like five lines up at two dots. Bnei Baishan. So the people in Baishan apparently know shalo hayu uzlan mitzur l'tzidon v'mali shabson. Their minhag was they wouldn't go from tzur to tzidon. On Erev Pesach, even though right that was a big business day, Rashi says Yom Hashuk Shel Tzidon Be'erev Shabbos. Right, that was like we have in Eretz Yisrael today. Right, Friday was Sunday, shall we say? It was a big day for the marketplace, but they were still machmir not to do business in Erev Shabbos. Right, we talked about that a little bit yesterday as well. Not to do business in Erev Shabbos because to make sure they were prepared for Shabbos, even though they could make money from it. So that was their minhag. Also, Benaihu, so their kids came in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and I'm really, they said to him, Avhasin Efshalahu, our fathers were able to keep this minhag, but Ananlo Efshalon, but we can't resist. We don't, we have an opportunity here to make some money in the market, and we can't really do this. We need the parnasa. So Abelu, he said back to them, "Kivlu avoseichem aleihem." Right? Sorry, this is already the minhag that your forefathers accepted upon themselves. Shenemar, and you should keep it. Right? Keep their minhag. Don't deviate from their minhag because the pasuk says, "Shema b'nei musar v'licha v'altitosh teres imecha." Okay. So, Bnei Chozah, similarly, the people in Chozah were Nagi de Mafresh Chala Meorza. Interesting, right? We said, we quoted before a couple of lot ago, that the type of species of grain that you're Yotzei the Mitzvah of Matzah with, and that are Chayev and Chala, right? We pointed out that they're similar. But the people in Chozah, their minhag was to take Chala from rice bread, which is not one of the five grains. So also, if I'm related to Rav Yosef, they went and told Rav Yosef, and he said, let someone who is a czar, someone who is a non-Kohen, eat this challah, right? We know challah is only eaten by Kohanim. So basically what he said was, that's a ridiculous minhag. Right? Let a czar, let a stranger, let a Yisrael, someone who is not a Kohen, eat this challah to show that that's a ridiculous halacha, and it's not true. So Esvei Abaye, Abaye said back to him, one second, hold on. There's a din that if for whatever reason something is aser, let's take a step back. If there is a din that lachora is mutter, but for whatever reason people are noeg in iser, people are machmir about this din, so a person is not allowed to say that it's mutter in front of them, right? You're not allowed to just go say that what you're doing is ridiculous. So how could you say, nullify this minhag and say, let some random Yisrael go eat that challah to show them that it's not true? Someone else said back to him, "Belav mi itmar Allah of Amar Chista b'kutay." And he said, no, because that halacha, that you're not allowed to be machmir something in front of people who are machmir, that's only for kutim. Now, the kutim, that is a machlokas in terms of what status the kutim had. The kutim were converts. They had converted because of, they were afraid of maybe the lions would eat them or whatever. They were basically, they were brought in by, I think it was Sancheirev, I don't remember exactly. But that's a whole machlokas in terms of what their status is, whether their conversion was legit or not. So this Gemara is assuming that they're legit, right? And then they are Jews, but, meaning we don't want them to think, for whatever reason, they're unlearned. They're not the greatest Talmid Chachamim. They don't know all the halachos. So if you tell them that actually what you've been doing all this time is actually mutter, they're going to then go and think that other things that they've been holding back from are also mutter. And obviously that's bad, right? We don't want that. So, because, you know, they may be keeping the halacha. They may, you know, not be cooking on Shabbos. You tell them, oh, what do you mean? The challah that you're taking on rice is ridiculous. It's actually mutter. So they may start saying, well, okay, so the challah we're taking from wheat bread is also not a thing. So we don't want that to happen. So therefore, that was that halacha. But over here, right, we're not dealing with chora. We're not dealing with kutim. The Gemara says, 1 second. All right, kutai, my time out. Right, and I kind of jumped the gun just to explain. But Abaye came back at Yosef and said, what do you mean? What's the reason why the kutim are not allowed? You're not allowed to be mora heter and teach them that something is mutter if they're noeg in iser. What's the reason? Mishum de kasar dimisrachi milsa. Because things will go bad. Meaning they'll get confused. Right, and then they'll, you know, other halachos will get messed up. So anach inshi namisrachi milsa. What I'm talking about? 1 second. These people also, I mean, the people in the Chozah were the same case. They didn't know so much, and he was afraid that if you would tell them that, you know, eating the challah from rice is mutter, they would get confused in other halachos. So, Ella, Amar, Ravashi, therefore says, Chaziran, I, Ruban, Orez, Achli, Lo, Nichli, Zarba, Pai. So, Ravashi says, let's see. The way to deal with this case is as follows. I mean, if most of the people in the city eat rice, meaning eat ruban orez, meaning if most people are eating rice bread there, so then lo nechli zer ba'apayu, then you shouldn't have Yisrael eat the challah from the rice bread, because dom nishtacha Torah challah minayu, because they're not taking challah from other bread anyway, and therefore people will just forget about the whole concept of challah, and then, you know, because that's what they're eating, they're all eating rice bread. So if you tell them to stop taking challah from rice bread, so then I can take challah from anything else, and everybody's going to forget about the whole concept of challah. But if most of the bread in the city is, you know, bread from grains, then you can have them, you know, a Yisrael eat the challah from rice bread, because we have another concern here. We don't want them taking challah from rice bread, because they, what might happen? They might be making both rice bread and wheat bread, and then they're taking challah only from the rice bread. Well, that doesn't cover the wheat, because really rice is not chayiv in challah. So there's another kula here, right? As we had on the Gemara a couple of blot ago as well. And sometimes when you have a chumra, you end up with a kula. So there's a machmir to take challah from rice bread, but if you're making rice bread and wheat or other grain bread, and you take the challah from that entire batch, just from the rice, so now you're taking challah from something that's putter from challah, and you're exempting something that's chayvin challah, i.e. the wheat bread. And that's a problem. Then that, it turns out that the wheat bread, you never took challah from the wheat dough, and that's, you know, that's a problem. So that, you know, right, that's how Rav Ashi said you should deal with that situation. Okay, Gufa, let's go back to something we just said. Dvarim ha-mutarim v'achayim no'agin b'hen iser, if something's actually mutter. But for whatever reason, there's a minag to be machmer. Iyata rashay latirim b'fneim, you're not allowed to say that it's mutter in front of them. Again, we're confused. They're going to get, we said it's talking about the kutim, and we're confused. It's just to read, right? Amar Rav Chisda, b'kutay eskinan, we're dealing with kutim, and we're concerned that they will apply that heter to other realms of halacha. So Gemara says, b'kulei amalo, really, for no one else, you're not, this doesn't apply to anyone else, this only applies to kutim. V'atayim, and then we're going to bring three stories, three examples of a scenario where, yeah, people did not say that actually an item that was mutter, and people were noag ben iser. We're going to see the Talmid Chachamim in these cases decided to refrain from whatever activity, even though it was actually mutter, because they didn't want to pass in front of them that it was mutter. Right? So we'll see. Two brothers can go to the bathhouse together. Right? Really, it's mutter for two brothers to go to the bathhouse together. But in Kabul, Mustafa right now says the Malkom. I assume it's not talking about, where's Kabul? Afghanistan? I assume it's not talking about you know, that far east. It must be someplace in Bavel or whatever. But either way, if in Kabul it was Aser, right? They didn't do it. They were no Hagen Isser because they decided it was inappropriate. So Umaisa, right, wasn't as tsnius as, right, they want to be more tsnius. Umaisa behind the hill, Bonav Shal Ram Gamliel, Ram Gamliel's two sons, Sherachsu Shneim Ke'echa Bekovul, and they, sure enough, they went together into the bathhouse together. For laws Alem Kol Medina, everybody in the city and everybody in the state were laughing at them and talking about them. Laws, right, they were Motsi laws, they were saying bad things about them. For Amru, and they said, me, Amenu Lo Reinu Kach, we never saw anybody do this. These people are ridiculous. So what happened? Finish Manilo, Vyatsu Labeza Chitzon. So Hillel got up and left. Right? He didn't want to tell them. He didn't want to tell them that it was mutar. Mutar about them, that it is mutar. So again, we see that they decided not to say that actually this maisa was mutar. Right? How could you tell me it only applies to gudim? Another example: yotzim bekur de kison b'shabbos. A person is allowed to go out with slippers on Shabbos. Vein yotzim bekur de kison b'shabbos bebiri. But in biri, the minag was not to, because I guess they were concerned, right? Maybe they'll slip off your feet and you end up carrying them daladamas. So the Maisa, the Hillel, and sure enough, apparently Yehuda and Hillel were traveled the world a little bit. Right, Rabbi Gamliel was their father. Right? He's a scholar in residence, right? A Rav speaking in different places. So sure enough, Yehuda and Hillel had never been to Biri, or they were new to Biri. And they were there for Shabbos. Shiatsu Bekukin, these are for Shabbos. They went out in Biri, and they went out with their slippers on Shabbos in Biri. V'lazalem kol medina, v'amru miyameinu lo reinu kach. They said the same thing. They, we've never seen this before. They would start laughing on this. What are you guys doing? So they took off their slippers, gave it to their servants. Not in Rosh Hashanah, because that would have been, having people carry for you in Rosh Hashanah. Either way, they took off their slippers, and they left them in the hands of their servants. Really, they didn't want to say that it was actually mother. Finally, third example, V'yoshvin ala safsali nachrim b'shabbos. A person is allowed to sit on the stools of nachrim, on the benches of goyim on Shabbos. We'll see in a second why that might be usur. I guess I'll just explain it, because it might look like you're doing business, right? The goyim, that was the stools of the goyim that used to sit right outside with their wares and sell and do business on those stools. So where a person's allowed to sit on them on Shabbos, no one's going to think that you're doing business on Shabbos because you're sitting on one of those seats, on those stools. But in the Ben-Akko, the minhag was not to do this. Sure enough, Rishon Ben-Gamliel did this. And everybody's making fun of him. We never saw this before. What are you doing? Therefore, and then Nishman al Gabi Akarka, he slid off of this stool, sat instead on the ground. He didn't want to tell them that it was mutar. So we see three cases and three stories where people didn't want to say, oh, by the way, you're being too machmir here, it's actually mutar, because they would get, seemingly this applies to other people, not only kutim. As Kumar says, you're right. Actually, it only applies to kutim. But why does it apply to kutim, if you remember? Because they may get the heter confused with other realms of halacha, because they're not learned. They don't know the halacha so much. So too over here. This is talking about Kriya Hasayam, right? The cities across the sea. Now Akko is in Eretz Yisrael, right? And so it's not talking about actual cities and islands, but it means cities that are far out, I guess, away from the general populace, and the Chachamim didn't come by so much, and they were not so learned, they were not so knowledgeable about the halacha. So Gemara says, one second, so let's just explain, what was the problem with these three things? The Bishlam, I understand, Safsalei Nachrim, the problem was sitting on Goyish stools, Mishum Demechzi Kemecha Komemkar, because it looks like you're doing business. That was the concern. Bekorim Kadison, by these slippers, Nami, Doma Mishtalfin, Vasi Lasi, Daladabas, Bishus Arabin. But maybe, again, as we explained, the slippers, you may carry them, Daladabas, Bishus Arabin. So that's why people were noeg in Isser. Ela Rokhts in my time alone. What's the problem with taking a bath in the same bath as your brother? So Gemara says, Kidatanya. Emakol Adam Rokhets, a person is allowed to wash, to bathe with anybody he wants. Chutz me aviv, except for his father, v'chamav, his father-in-law, u'bal imo, his stepfather, u'bal achoso, and his brother-in-law. And again, and Rashi explains, because there's some sort of hirur possibility of impure thoughts that may arise related to either his wife or etc. etc. Okay, fine. It may lead to some sort of inappropriate thoughts. Rabbi Yehuda matir ba'aviv mepnei kavod aviv. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's actually mutter for your father, because it's covered your father, right, if he needs you. Right? Rashi says, Shem Sham Shomer Mechatz, for you to serve your father in the bathhouse, right, it's part of Kivet Avim, right, certainly to help him out if he needs it. V'hu adin labal imo, certainly for your stepfather, right, if he needs it. Right? V'asu inu v'gozer b'shnei achen mishum ba'alacho. So, and there was a gzeira, these people came and made a gzeira, that two brothers should not watch wash together, because it may lead to, if it's mutter to bathe with your brother, you may also then bathe with your brother-in-law, which is actually the initial problem. But really, inherently, there's nothing problematic with bathing with your brother, just a question of whether you may extend that to your brother-in-law, which is a problem. Talmud and Debreisa. Talmud lo yerchatzim rabo. Talmud should not go to the bathhouse and kind of wash himself with his Rebbe. But if your Rebbe needs him, so then it's mutter. Right, again, Rebbe shemachol or kodemachol. A Rav who is mochel on his kavod, so that's he can do that. And if he needs him, so then that's fine. Ki also Rav bar Rechana achol deistra. Okay, so now just a little bit of a background. This is a different story now. There's an isra called chelev that we've mentioned many, many times. Right? You're not allowed to eat certain fats of the animal. Now I don't know, and I'm not really well versed in this stuff, but apparently there are fats all around the animal's stomach. Let's say a cow's stomach, and some fats are mutter and some fats are aser. Now, apparently, as if you look at Rashi, if you want to check it out, again, I'm not sure exactly if I understand this properly because I really don't understand the anatomy of animals. But if you read Rashi, right, Rashi has chalav de'aistra. So he says it's for the chalev. Sorry, so chalev shebekifas hakeva shakeva kfufa vasuya kikeshes. Apparently, the part of, I realize I didn't explain that well, but what Rashi is saying is that apparently there's fats all over the stomach, and the stomach is shaped like a bow. Apparently in Eretz Yisrael, the fat on the straight part of the stomach is mutter, but in Bavel, there were no egg in Isser. And in Bavel, they didn't eat this fat. So the Daisra is this fat on the straight part of the animal's stomach. So basically, when he went to Bavel, so Rav Bar Rechana, who was from Eretz Yisrael, it was mutter for him. He went to Bavel, and what happened was, right, ki asa Rav Bar Rechana achal Daisra. So apparently he ate it, meaning he ate this like he was accustomed to. He ate this fat from the animal's stomach. So So all of a sudden he got a visit, right, from the not the mafia but the rabbanim, and came into chazinu kasi minayu. And when he saw them, so he hid it. He hid the fat that he was eating. Must have on the meat. Or I assume he wasn't eating fat straight up. But okay, either way. Apparently it was too late, and they saw him. And they called. They told on him to Abaye, and Amalu. And he said back to them, "Shavinhu kikutai." Right, Rabbi Bar Chana has made you as if you're a kuti. Why? Kolomar, as Rashi says, if you look four lines up in Rashi, in Bayam Misham Lakan, Ein Lam Lashanos Minhagam Ela Usin Kemukoman. Right. Apparently, they didn't change. Right? He didn't change his minhag. Right. He kept his old minhag. Meaning, he didn't want to tell you, right, that it was mutter. Right, so he hid it. Meaning, what do we say? We said we're not going to paskin that things are mutter if they're no egg boiser. In Bavel, there were no egg not to eat this fat. Rabbi Bar Rechana didn't want to say, oh, by the way, that fat is actually mutter. But he just kept his own minhag and he hid it from those two rabbanim instead of telling them that it was mutter. Right, that's what we do with the kutim. So he just made a point. And he said, oh, it must be that he thinks you guys are kutim. The Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Rechana, Leslie Hadetzan. Well, one second. Didn't Rabbi Bar Rechana not hold of our Mishnah? Right, what does our Mishnah say? Excuse me. Right? If you go to a place that's not your, not your normal place where you live, you keep the chumras of that place. So why did he eat that fat? Right? It's Asur and Bavel. You shouldn't have eaten those fats. So Rabbi, honey, neatly, but Bavel, Meretz Yisrael, Meretz Yisrael. That's only within states. Inami Bavel, Eretz Yisrael. Or if a person is going to Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. But if a person is going from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, then lo, then you don't have to keep the Babylonian minhagim. Why? Kevan da'avan kaifinan lahu avdinan kavasayu. Because the Talmidei Chachamim were lesser in Babel than the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. Literally, kafin, immediately they bow down, but literally, basically they would serve. They were on a lower level, let's say, than the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, they allowed them to keep the Talmud, the Minhagim, in of Eretz Yisrael, even though they were in Bavel. Tosfos just asks that it seems from the Gemara Sanhedrin that the Gemara says the opposite is true, that actually the Talmid Chachamim in Bavel were better. So he says that he splits. If you look at Tosfos Dibur Maskil Kevan, so he says, yeah, that's only in terms of logic and money and monetary cases. That yeah, the judges in Bavel were better, but in terms of Isra Heter and Smicha, etc. So then the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were better. From a famous phrase, Tosfos quotes that the avir Eretz Yisrael machkim, that for whatever reason the air in Eretz Yisrael makes people smarter. Okay, that's a Gemara that Tosfos quotes. There was that Gemara in Bava Basra. Okay, so in terms of Isra Vehetr, so the Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael were better. Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi says, I feel different in Eretz Yisrael above. He said, no, that still applies. He disagrees and he says, no, that still applies in Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. That you have to keep the minhag if it's more machmir. So there, why didn't Rabbi Bar Chana eat the fats, right? It was asur, right? The minhag in Bavel was asur, but it's honey mealy, heka, the ain daito la'achsor. But that's only, when do you have to keep the minhag and the chumras of the place you're going to? That's only if you're not going back. And your das, you're intending to stay there, stay in Bavel. For Rabbi Bar Chana, daito la'achsor, hava, Rabbi Bar Chana was going back, so he just kept his old minhagim. That's a halacha that's quoted a lot by the one-day, two-day thing, in terms of Yom Tov Sheni. A lot of posts can quote that as one of the main factors in terms of what you do. Right? If your das is to go back, if you're just visiting, as they say, so then you keep the minhag of where you came from. But if you're not just visiting and your mindset is to stay, right, that's why they always ask the guys who come for 1, 2, 3 years in Eretz Yisrael, right, to learn Torah, are you sticking around? So, right, there are different ways to answer that. I think the Svartim and Lomeko, meaning they have more. You could throw more theoreticals. I think Rav Avadia was famous for saying that that he would ask a guy, if I would offer you my daughter in marriage, so would you stay? So obviously, you know, Rav Avadia was older, and that's just obviously, you know, his daughters were also all married and whatever. But meaning the Svartim, I think, are more willing to apply theoreticals to that question than Ashkenazim. Okay, that's the joke goes. The Svartim have more emunah bitachon than the Ashkenazim, so they're willing to assume that, yeah, sure, you want to stay in Eretz Yisrael, your das is to stay here, right? You're not going back. Okay, either way, that's what they say. Amar lei Rabbi Bar Chana lebnei. Now, Rabbi Bar Chana said to his son, Bni lo sochal lo b'fanei v'shalo b'fanei. Right? You can't eat these fats, by the way. Meaning, I can eat these fats, but you guys in Bavel, right? My son, don't eat these fats, whether you're in my presence or not. Why am I allowed to eat these fats? Because Anisha raises Rabbi Yochanan Shachal. I saw Rabbi Yochanan eat these fats, so therefore Kedai who Rabbi Yochanan listen to Chalav, but Fana v'Shalav b'Fanav. So I can rely on Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, right? He's my Rabbi. I saw him do it, so therefore I can use his Shita and I can eat these fats. But I tell, but you, lo reiso so, you didn't see anything, right? You're just hearing it from me. So therefore, lo so chal ben b'Fanai ben Shalav b'Fanai. I'm not a reliable source, I'm not able to paskin for you. Apparently, Rabbi Bar Chana felt that he was not, a mora hora, he was not on that level to paskin, and therefore, since I got it from my Rebbe, I can do it, but I cannot paskin for you, and therefore, you cannot do it. Right? A fascinating insight in terms of how halacha, mora hora works, how psak works. Okay. Again, that's not, obviously, don't take that, take that at face value. Don't, what's the phrase? Meaning, don't necessarily apply that straight across the board, right? It's part of the whole discussion in terms of how psak works and how, choosing a Rebbe, etc., etc. But either way, he told his son, I'm not good enough. I can't rely on. You can't rely on me. But, interestingly enough, uplikati de'adi de, that actually contradicted something else that he did previously. Meaning, Rabbi Bar Chana contradicted himself. The Amar Rabbi Bar Chana. Sachli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar was talking to me. Pamachas nechnasti achar Rabbi Shimon ben Yosi ben Lakunya Lagina. Once I went with Rabbi Shimon ben Yosi to Lakunya, to a garden. Lakunya was in Eretz Yisrael. V'natal svichei kruv. And he took svichin of a cabbage. And he ate some. Now, what's going on over here? So, background, a little bit. To Hilchos Shemitah. Right? We've got Shemitah coming up in a year or two, I think. Basically, the halacha is that you're not allowed to, we touched on this before, that when the food is gone in the fields, meaning when the crop is gone, so then any crop that you have brought into your house, you need to dispose of. That is not necessarily true of Svichin. Now, it is. We'll see in the Maisa it is. But Svichin is things that grow on their own. Like, for example, certain foods have to be planted, like, I don't know, wheat. Right? Certain foods will grow on their own. Right? The root just doesn't die. So cabbage is an exception in that, to Oz, we'll see in a second, that cabbage apparently never dies. It is always available, meaning there is no point in time in the year where it is no longer available in the fields. So lechora, there is no din of getting rid of all of your cabbage in your house because there is no point in which it is gone from the fields. Right? There's no chiyuv biur theoretically. So what was it? What was going on over here? So who are the participants? Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar was told Rabbi Bar Chana that once he went with Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi to a garden in Lacunia, and he took some of the svichin, some of the, I think literally translated as the growth or the aftergrowth, he took some of the svichin, some of these cabbage, and he ate some. Vanasalein, he gave some to me. Vamrali, and he said, Bini, my son, Befanai ochel, shalo befanai lo sochel. When you're with me, then you can eat it. If you're not with me, then you can't eat it. Ani shereisi Rav Shimon ben Yochai sheochel. I saw Rav Shimon ben Yochai ate it. So kedai hu Rav Shimon ben Yochai lismokolav. Sorry, befanai v'shalo befanav. I saw my Rabbi Rav Shimon ben Yochai eating it, so I can eat it whenever I want. Right? But you, but ata, befanai echel, shalo befanai lo tochel. Right? You're not allowed to eat it if you're not in my presence. But if you're in my presence, then you can't eat it. So you see that directly contradicts what Rabbi Bar Chana told his son. Right? Rabbi Bar Chana told him that if, regardless, right, by the fats, by the chelev that's mutter, you cannot eat this because you did not get a psak from my Rebbe. Don't eat it anywhere. Here he's telling him, you can eat it if I'm around, but you can't eat it if I'm not around. So which is it? So the Gemara says, my Rebbe Shimon, and just to clarify what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right, this halacha Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that says that the svichin of a cabbage is mutter to eat. So it's this machloka, it's the Tanya, like within the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Omar calls svichin asurin, chutz mi svichin kruv. Right, all svichin are asur. Any growth that comes in the field after this manbir, after all the, let's say, the wheat is gone from the field, so anything that any wheat, for example, that may have grown on its own, right, there's no issur here because you didn't plant the wheat in Shemitah, but any wheat that may have grown on its own from the time of beer, from the time when all the wheat is gone from the field, is reaped and collected, so then it is asur. That's the halacha of svichin, that all that stuff is asur, except for the svichin of a kruv, of a cabbage. She'ein keyotzibo b'yerek asada, right? Because there's nothing like a cabbage. Like I said before, right? The cabbage never dies. So there's always stuff available. So there's never ever a chiyuv beer. There's never ever a chiyuv beer means you have to burn it. You have to remove it from your house, right? There's no point in which the cabbage is gone. Therefore, there's no point in which you have to remove it from your house. Therefore, it's mutter. The chum say no. Kol svichan asurim, all growths, all shrubbery that grows on its own. So that is usur, regardless of species. V'tamayu libud Rabbi Akiva. It's actually both of them are arguing within Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya Kolim the Rabbeisa. Pasuk says, Hein lo nisra v'lo nesof es tuosena. Talking about Shemitah, you shouldn't plant and you should not gather your grain. Amar Rabbi Kiva says, v'chine achar shein zorin, if a person's not planting, mehecha osfin, where is he gathering from? I mean, I understand that you're not allowed to plant, but why are you telling me you're not allowed to gather food? Obviously, if I'm not planting, there's no food to gather. So mikar from here, the svichin shein asurim. Apparently, you see that anything that grows on its own, right, in the field, that's aser. Maika meflegi. What's the machlokes between the rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva? So rabbanan sorry, the rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So rabbanan hold gazrin svichin kruv other shar svichin. The alma. The rabbanan are concerned that if you eat the svichin of a cabbage, so look, you'll think that all svichin are mutter. Rabbi Shimon sorry, lo gazrin svichin kruv other svichin the alma. Rabbi Shimon says no. It's not necessarily true that you'll get the two types of svichin confused. Okay, now just to quickly explain the Mishnah, we had said that if a person goes from one place to the next, so you should keep the chumras of the place you went to. Meaning, if you're machmir in your hometown and you go to a place where they're mekel, you should be machmir. If you're mekel in your hometown and then you go to a place where they're machmir, you should be machmir. And then the Mishnah said, you shouldn't deviate from the custom of the place where you're traveling to, because you don't want to get into an argument. So the Gemara says, one second. Bishlama, I understand. If you go from a place where they do malacha to the place where they don't do malacha on Erev Pesach, so then nosin alachumre makom shahalach l'sham. Right? You get you keep the chumra of the place where you went to, i.e., don't do malacha. Va'yishana adam epinam machlokas, and you shouldn't change. Right? Meaning you shouldn't do malacha because then people are going to start yelling at you, and there'll be a machlokas, and that's right problematic. And therefore you shouldn't do any malacha. But what about the reverse case? Elum makom she'ain osin lamakom she'osin. I don't understand. A place where you don't do malacha on Erev Pesach, and you go to a place where you do malacha on Erev Pesach. So ayishan adam avnei machlokas v'navid. What, do you have to find some malacha to do and go do malacha? Ha, Marta, didn't you just say nosna lav chomrei makom shehalach l'sham v'chomrei makom sheyatzim isham? You have to keep the chomras. So what do you mean you have to do malacha? Right? You do malacha? What do you mean? I thought you were telling me you have to keep the chumras. That would imply that you shouldn't do malacha. So Amar Abaye says, Aresha. No, Yerichanami. It's not talking about that case. Right? That phrase is not talking about that case. It's only talking about the first case, the Aresha. And therefore, there's no problem. Right? Rava, Amar Rava says, no. The Olam HaSeifa really could be talking in that place. Rahaki Kamar. This is what it means to say. Ein bezum ipnei shina machlokas. If a person is in a place where they do, where they don't do malacha, and then he goes to a place where they do malacha, so not doing malacha is not a problem of causing machlokas, even though everyone else is doing work, is doing malacha. Because what's going to happen? Everybody else is doing malacha, you're sitting there doing nothing. So Micah Amar, Amris, what are people going to say? Haroa Omer, someone who sees you, that you're not doing malacha, Haroa Omer, malacha surah? What are they going to think? Oh, it must. He's being noeg in Isra Malacha here. He's not doing work on purpose. No, Mema Amri Kami Batlani Have a Bashuka. Right? They'll say that there are a lot of people who are out of work, so he's not working because he doesn't have a job right now. Rechmal Atzlan in time of Corona, right? Mitzvah Shem. Everybody should be zokah to find parnasa, but sometimes there's not so many jobs available. So they're not going to think that you're making a machlokas by not doing work. Right? They're just going to think that you happen not to have a job and therefore you're not doing. You're not doing any malacha. Okay, we'll finish here and we'll go by you tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.